Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
This portion of Radio Law Talk is brought to you by Strauss Naturals. That's S-T-R-A-U-S-S, StraussNaturals.com. And now, here are Fred, Todd, and Denise.
Hey, Cal, you know what? You just brought up Strauss Naturals. They sponsored us. And, you know, they're well known for their mainly their heart drops, right? They do all types of drops.
Correct,
but it's
yes.
their heart drops. But mm-hmm. I saw now they have what's called cold storm drops, which are, and again, I'm not, you know, I can't say one way or the other. I'm not a doctor. But cold storm, well, basically, you know, like you take those, I'm not going to name the other brands that you take, like if you're going on a trip and you don't want to get sick.
Oh, the stuff you take when you get on the airplane.
Yeah, right? Airplane, that's what it's called. But this is, I think they're doing the same thing, which is called cold storm drops.
Cool.
So it's pretty cool looking. I don't have any of those, I wonder.
Well, Strauss has a good reputation in their particular industry, and of course
right.
we don't, they're not
right.
tended to diagnose treats or
yeah,
any
yeah,
disease.
Yeah, we're not doing that, but it's just interesting. They've got Strauss cold storm drops.
Hmm.
That is an interesting thing because you've got to kind of, before you get on planes or out in the public, it's good to have some immunities, you know, and Denise and I were talking about immunities, and it sounds weird, but you never know. You get sick. Anybody can get sick. But we have an orchard in my home. I believe each of you have had our mandarin oranges.
Oh, they're delicious.
And I don't care what people say, what doctors, me, and I'm not espousing this. This is just Fred Penny. Doggone it, I would eat about 5 mandarins a day when the mandarins were on because they're so sweet, huh, you guys? They're sweet as honey. And I just, my health was just strong.
Hmm.
It was just super strong.
I believe in citrus fruit.
Yes,
I
so
really
do.
Because I eat lemons all the time.
I ate five carrots a day, and my skin turned orange. True story.
Wow.
I've heard of that.
Well, but anyway, there's a Strauss cold storm. Great. Go for it, man. Anyway, today we're at third hour, 855 Law Radio. Remember, we're talking about general topics of law. Seek local counsel. We're not giving legal advice. We're going to talk about a lot of interesting things. We're going to get into case or no case in a minute here. But, you know, we have certain things we want to talk about. We've got an Indian reservation police powers we want to talk about.
That's a fascinating story.
Yeah, that's a very fascinating. There's voice recognition at McDonald's issues about if they're recording your voice when you order something. And then we got the latest on Epstein guards, latest on Bill Cosby. But here's the thing that we're going to switch it up, and I think this is right. Denise, who's a family law attorney, we're going to talk about Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt's divorce/child custody, the latest on that. And
boring.
Yeah, that's boring, but Denise, we've got to be careful what we say live on the air, but Denise was so smart the way she goes, we're going to talk about ones that want their children, and then we're going to talk about Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell, ones that didn't want their children. So,
now, that
is
story
true.
Is just to
yeah.
take more bizarre turns than anything you can imagine.
It does. Yeah. And so what we're going to talk about after the case or no case, we're going to talk about Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, about child custody issues, and then we're going to talk about this bizarre Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell who Lori basically thought her kids were zombies and, you know, an apocalypse type craziness. And we're going to tell you the latest that's going on in the courts and give our lawyers a spin on it.
Or is she setting herself up for an insanity defense?
We're going to talk about insanity defense. That's very interesting. But before we do all that, we're going to do that after we do third hour case or no case.
Now it's time to play case or no case.
Yay!
Denise, what's the points? What's the points before Cal gives us that? Are we doing pretty good? Go ahead, Cal. She'll add it up later.
Getting her calculator. No, she doesn't.
She has to get out the abacus, and you know we're just trying to figure it all out there.
Jerry Walshoff was feeling lucky. So we went into a New York City bodega, a small store, and bought a lottery ticket. He brought it back off to the drawing, and briefly it popped up a winner right there on the store's computer. Then the clerk pulled it back and scanned it again and said, no, no, no. And the want loser indication came up. Walshoff wrote down the clerk's name, took a picture of him, took his losing, in air quotes, lottery ticket away, which it was still a loser, and he believed that the clerk, Rasha Shabami, had scammed him. The lottery said, without some direct proof, it could be a civil matter if he wants to pursue it any further, Walshoff was not a wealthy man, but $3,000 was $3,000. So he called his buddy Greg, a lawyer in the city. Why did he call? Because he wanted to know, case or no case. Todd.
Well, while I think about this again, I'll use the Denise Dirks method of analysis. Lottery is a situation where you pay money for a ticket for the opportunity to potentially win more money. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, great. And the tickets are printed on some sort of paper product.
Pretty sure.
You could see this.
Pretty sure.
Okay, yeah. We got that there. Denise is giving me a look like, you know, if you
get to the point.
Which is exactly what I've wanted to say for 4 years. So yes, so Denise, I'm going to go out. My tires are going to be slashed.
That was a good one.
So let me get this straight. He thought he had a winner. The clerk took the ticket, and the clerk kept the ticket, right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
And loser popped up.
That's what he's alleging.
Well, and here's what I'm going to say.
Correct.
I'm going to say that he has a case. Maybe not for the full $3,000, but even a minuscule value. Once he purchased that ticket, it was his ticket to keep, even if it was a loser. And the fact that the clerk took it, it could be theft just for the value of face value of a ticket that was a loser. You know, half a cent, whatever.
$10.
They kept the ticket, and because of that, when he purchased it, it was his property. He can do whatever he wants with a losing ticket. There was no justification for the clerk to keep the losing ticket. And so he has a case, and I think that this is a case, and he prevails. It might be a minuscule amount, but the clerk should not have kept the ticket. It was his property after he purchased it.
Interesting theory. Denise, what say you?
So I think the lawsuit is against the store owner and also the lottery machine company, because what happened is that the lottery machine first said winner. And it gave him a start. He was excited. And obviously that would cause him some emotional, you know, distress when he then second time comes up as loser. So that would be, in my opinion, the lawsuit. Is it a real case or not? No, no case.
Fair enough. Mr. Penny, what say you on this matter of case or no case?
Denise, you know what? I was thinking I was going to be super intelligent and bring up all what you said because I think it's a scenario, but it's not a case. No case came about because of this, but I think it might have been a scenario in a newspaper. And I'm going to go with Denise. It's no case.
Certainly does remind me of those videos that you see out there where somebody gets a lottery ticket as a Christmas present, and they scratch it off, and it's $10,000, and you get the video of them going nuts. Oh, I'm rich,
the
I'm rich.
The meanest videos on
the look at the back of the ticket, and it's like, oh, face. This is fraudulent. And now that person looks like a total heel for acting the way that they did.
Or for giving the poor guy the ticket. Yeah. I just think that is just cruel. You know,
person calls their boss, quits on the spot.
I just won $50.
That's hilarious. I can see that one. Go to H-E Double Toothpicks because, you know what? I just won the lottery. Don't look at the back. It says fake. Oh, got my job back.
I just won $10,000. So I don't think I want to give you the answer to this one because it's a little longer than just a standard
no.
So if you don't mind, I'm gonna hold off
on that. All right, let's talk about what we're going to discuss then. And while you're doing that really quick, we're going to come up. We're going to talk about, again, the divorce situation, but mainly the child custody of Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt. And you've got to hear the latest on the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell. And we have a little inside, right, Cal?
Yep.
Cal has a little inside. He's an Idaho boy and knows some of the main reporters that were reporting and working on this case.
Yep.
So when we come back.
I ask the hard questions.
That's exactly. When we come back, we're going to talk about these interesting things.
Stay tuned. As Fred said, there is a lot more fascinating discussion coming up right here on Radio Law Talk, not to mention the answer to...
This portion of Radio Law Talk is brought to you by Strauss Naturals. For more information, go to straussnaturals.com. That's Strauss, straussnaturals.com.
Wayne Elliott here to tell you about my experience with Strauss Naturals Heart Drops over the past 20 years. Strauss Heart Drops saved me back then and changed my life forever. It's hard to describe how invigorating it is when you support your healthy blood flow everywhere. There is scientific evidence that Heart Drops ingredients help maintain healthy lipid concentration. Cholesterol is in the blood lipid group. This supports blood flow, our body's most important function. I was able to maintain a healthy heart and blood flow. Strauss Heart Drops work, I can assure you. No contraindications with pharma drugs. Strauss Heart Drops are safe, and Strauss guarantees your satisfaction with a hassle-free guarantee so you can't go wrong and certainly have nothing to lose. I've seen folks taking Heart Drops that have greatly improved their lives. Available online at straussnaturals.com. Thank you very much.
These products may not be right for you. Always read and follow the label.
If your loved one has passed away due to COVID-19, pay close attention to this message. You could be entitled to a death benefit of over $300,000. The U.S. government has set up a fund to pay families relief if they've lost a loved one due to COVID-19. We know this is a hard time for you, and this fund has been set up by the federal government to help ease your pain. The compensation includes a death benefit and lost wages benefit. Time is limited, so we urge you to make a free phone call right now. There's no cost to you for this claim. All legal fees are only covered once you receive your money. So if you've lost a loved one due to COVID-19, call the legal helpline right now to find out if you qualify for a cash award. Here's our number. 800-918-7092. 800-918-7092. 800-918-7092. That's 800-918-7092. Paid for by the IPG Law Group.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission, and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
This is the best show ever. Who told you that?
This is a great time to call the show. 855-LAW-RADIO. That's 855-LAW-RADIO.
This is the best show. I agree. We love this show. I'm glad we love it. And we want to just do a shout out and thank all our listeners. We have a great listenership, and it's growing, and we really appreciate you. We have people that listen to the show. You don't have as many people calling in. You think, oh, you know, how well is this doing? We're almost 100 stations, and plus we're live on RadioLawTalk.com. But Denise and Todd, you know this, when people walk up to you, just in where we are, we're all over the United States, and say, oh, I've had people walk up to me and say, I never miss your show. I'm like, really? I don't even know them, and I'll meet someone who knows someone, and they'll go, you're the Radio Law Talk host. Yeah, I never miss that show. Or I listen to it all the time. I'm like, wow, I really appreciate you. And we, the Denise and Todd and I and Cal, work really hard. We really work really hard to produce a good show, and we thank you for listening, and we appreciate it. But case or no case, Cal, tell us if Denise and I are going to win or Todd is going to win.
It is a question, is it not? And I think I have an answer for you here on this that may that may stun you. And so the question that I have for you is, those of you who said it was a case, that was who? That
Todd.
Was Todd?
That was me.
Okay, and those of you, so let's see, how are we going to do this? All right, well, so,
just
say
tell
it
us
was a case. Congratulations,
Todd.
Booyah.
So now, case, criminal case. Greg knew a producer of the over on the 60 Minutes television show on CBS TV. He called him and said, you might have a small story here. So the producer went to the bodega, duplicated the circumstances with another instant winner ticket that briefly popped up as a $100 winner. But the clerk palmed it and again said, no, you did not win. So they got they had a hidden camera there, hidden on the producer's body. They showed it to the police. They came in and charged the clerk and the owner of the store, because it turns out, in this particular group of bodegas, this was a cultural thing. The clerk and the owner would split every fraudulent ticket this guy could palm. And he had some magic skills, and he was very good at palming the tickets. So then the clerk got to spend a little time in jail getting booked. They got the surveillance video of the encounter with the clerk and was awarded the prize by the lottery, because the clerk got caught and they could establish ownership of the ticket. So that, friends, is case or no case. And remember, the names have been changed.
That's
to
awesome.
Protect.
So I should get 2 points.
Yeah.
Oh,
two points.
Agree. Yeah. I agree, Todd. Yeah. That was a great case or no case, Cal.
Thank you. Every once in a while I find
them. I like that.
They are getting harder to find, though.
I know, because we've been doing this for so long.
All right, let me give you the count.
There we go.
Fred is still ahead with 30. Todd has now taken second place with 29.
What?
I'm in third place at 27.
That's close.
And Cal is at 14.
Yeah. Woo! Cal's having a good time.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
Here's what we want to talk about, Denise. Talk about Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt's child custody case that's going on. And this is interesting. And then let's dive into the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell. And Todd, I want you just to give a brief, I'm making assignments. Give a very brief history, I can do it, of kind of what happened there, so we can set it up for those of you who really have been living under a rock.
The minute you said brief assignment, first of all, are there extra credit points for this?
Yes, there is.
What's a Dubai, and do I have to cite all my sources?
Yes, okay. All the above. Go ahead, Denise.
I thought you were going to say, do I have to show my underwear?
Yes, because that is so relevant.
Hey.
Okay.
On the radio. On the radio.
Oh, got it. All right.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Brief?
Brief. Legal brief.
Oh, my gosh. That is so bad I didn't get it.
Landmark case of Haynes versus Fruit of the Loom. Anyway, go on, Denise.
This is so getting so bad that people are turning the radio off.
So initially, what happened? Actually, the FBI was involved in this case, which is pretty much an interesting thing. They were on a flight, the whole family. There's 6 kids, and there's Angelina and Brad Pitt. And they were on a flight to France. And in the middle of the air, in the middle of this flight, there is an allegation that Brad Pitt was inappropriate with, at that time, his 15-year-old son. And so that's how the FBI got involved, because it's in the air, and that's federal.
Allegations.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I know you said that. I just want to make sure I repeat it multiple times.
Right. So after CPS and the federal investigation into that incident happened, it came back as unsubstantiated. So then what happens? Initially, Angelina Jolie, when she filed for divorce, she asked for sole legal, sole physical custody of her children and supervised visits with Brad. And as a matter of fact, that happened for a period of time. And then as time has been going on, this is like 5 years in the making. And as time went on, Brad just kept fighting for more time with the children, and he wanted to have joint custody, and there was a lot of things that went on with Angelina Jolie trying to disqualify the judge. And then currently, Brad has won joint legal and joint physical custody of what now would be his five children, because the sixth child is now 19 and no longer subject to any orders. He also got more time with his children. So now the two camps are kind of one side. Angelina Jolie's camp is saying the judge got it wrong, wouldn't let my children testify. He should have heard from that. It's important evidence and safety concerns. And Brad Pitt said, hey, this judge got it right. He's been involved for all this time. He knows all the factual background. There's still going to be an appeal, apparently, but it does mean that it looks like Brad Pitt's parenting time is more normalized now than it had been previously.
Now, you had used the phrase all this time, right?
Yes.
This incident in the flight from France to Los Angeles, that was 2016. So here we are 5 years later, and they're still, you know, it led to a divorce filing. They're still litigating everything that allegedly sprung out of this alleged incident. Talk about, you know, the people making bank are the lawyers.
And
5 years of legal fees.
The private judge, perhaps,
yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
What do you mean the private judge? The mediator?
No, they opted for a private judge because they wanted to keep it out of the public spotlight.
That's right.
We'll be back. Let's talk about the interesting parents that didn't want their children. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Jason Rossback here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
FBI Director Christopher Wray says the agency is currently investigating about 100 ransomware cases. The White House says President Biden views recent ransomware attacks as a national security concern. He told the Wall Street Journal that many of them are tied to criminals living in Russia. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says recent attacks targeting gas and beef suppliers have raised national security concerns.
New to us over the last couple of weeks, but it has been increasing rapidly around the world over the last several years.
She says President Biden will raise the issue of cybersecurity with Russian President Vladimir Putin when the two meet in Geneva later this month. He'll also meet with Queen Elizabeth, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, and Turkish President Recep Erdogan on his trip to Europe next week. This is USA Radio News.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your cake. Who told you that? Are you serious?
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
So Lori Vallow has been married 4 times, she is an individual, has 2 children, and her first husband passed away. I mean, her latest husband passed away before the husband that she married that was an author of kind of doomsday books. And so that's all I'm going to say. And we're going to have Todd just give us a background starting with this. And then let's have really quickly, Cal, touch on how you've got a little bit of a insider on that.
Because sure,
these
sure.
people are from Idaho. And then we'll get into what the latest is. And this is very interesting, what a judge just ordered or ruled.
So going back to, let's see, she's been married 4 times. We'll go back to her current husband is Chad Daybell, and we'll talk about the husband that she had just before that. She's living in Arizona, and she is following Chad Daybell, who's an author who lives in Idaho. And at the time that she's living in Arizona, she's married. Her husband dies under what some would deem maybe suspicious circumstances, but shortly after his death, and I mean like shortly, within a month, she relocates with her 2 children from Arizona up to Idaho in the same location where Chad Daybell lives. Shortly after she arrives in Idaho, Chad Daybell's wife dies. Mm-hmm. And under, you know, some people would look at that and say under suspicious circumstances, there was no autopsy done at the time, she's buried. And then shortly after that, Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow end up getting married. Now, Lori Vallow has 2 children at this time who are, you know, both minors. And
they have 2 different fathers.
And they have 2 different fathers, but shortly after the marriage, family members stop hearing from these two children. And to keep this quick, the two children ultimately end up, they're deceased. Their remains are found on Chad Daybell's property. Daybell and Lori Vallow had taken off to Hawaii. There was this whole issue about them being extradited back to Idaho. And the long and short of it is they're now both facing murder charges and participation in murder charges for the children. Dad Chad Daybell is facing charges for the death of his spouse. That has been brought up. And the reason this is in the news is because Lori Vallow has recently been declared by the judge in the case to be mentally incompetent to stand trial. And really what to look at here is, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that she is escaping facing a trial ultimately or seeing if she is guilty of the murder. What it means is she lacks the mental competence to go through the trial process right now, so she goes to the state mental hospital where they will work with her, and sometimes this can take years, to restore her to competency. Once she's restored to competency, then she'll stand trial for the acts that she's accused of.
Right, that's now, what people don't understand, right? They think automatically, oh, they can't stand trial because they're not competent. They can become more competent now, to do that.
Yeah, because earlier Cal had said, you know, is this a setup to plead insanity? The judge's ruling that she is not competent to stand trial is not a commentary on whether or not she is not culpable because she was legally insane at the time the alleged crime occurred.
Right.
That's a separate issue. It just means that at this point, because of her mental state, she doesn't understand what's going on. She's incapable of assisting her attorney with her defense. She can't engage in any of that. And until she can, if we did a trial, it would be overturned on appeal because she just is not mentally capable of understanding the process. So we need to get her mentally to where she can understand and participate. Once that happens, then we can do a trial. And you know, that may take months. It may take years. We'll have to wait.
So a couple of fascinating things about this. One, Chad Daybell decided that he had to move to Rexburg because God told him to. Because it would be a fertile ground for the people who adhered to his particular brand of religion, which is that we're all dying very soon. Christ is coming soon, and doomsday, you know, the time is upon us. The other interesting thing is that the girl in the case, the female child, was never heard from after they went to Yellowstone National Park. And so the speculation is that the homicide of her occurred there. Her remains were hauled back to Rexburg to this farm and were buried there and all of that. And I told you that I have a relative for whom Lori Daybell used to work. And they gave me some speculation that I really can't share with you because it's very wild.
Yeah.
But it's very wild. But the point is, it fascinates me how good it is, they allege that she was at manipulating Chad.
What's interesting, too, Cal, on that, if you watch the show on this, they did, I don't know if it was 2020 or someone
did
it, you could see them, they had video that they had a storage unit,
yes.
And they're carrying these big bags out, and you could tell they're struggling to carry them with something in those bags.
Yep.
It was just sad, but, you know, you think about it.
It's fascinating to see it unwind, isn't it? It's terrible.
And it's like a train wreck. You can't look away. You know, it's a horrific story.
Yeah.
And if, in fact, it's true, it's hard to get your mind around somebody that could actually do that to their children.
But don't forget, this is what she thought. She thought her children were what?
Zombies.
Zombies. But what? There's one, she thought that the... And the daughter was, I'm gonna look up the name. The name of the, I don't know, what do you want to call the...
Like the entity or
the entity that took
entity?
Her over?
Yeah, and just to...
Had a name.
To
Viola.
Yeah, to clarify, so when you look at like a show like The Walking Dead,
right,
and they refer to zombies there as somebody that has raised from the dead, and they're walking around, they got pieces of their parts of their body falling off. That's not, but zombie is a term of art as used by Lori Vallow. They were using it akin to saying that their children were possessed with another spirit.
Right.
So it was somebody else was using their body. They weren't the child that they knew. Their allegation, and this is way out there in left field, but their allegation is that the children that they knew before, their spirits were no longer there and they were inhabited by somebody else. And so they weren't really killing their children. They were killing the evil entity.
Viola was the evil entity.
It's way out there, but that's the way that they looked at it. But, you know, you look at all that and you think, Yeah, I see why a judge might think they were mentally incompetent to stand trial if that's their belief system. So, you know, just kind of
bizarre. I think she's
crazy.
More bizarre than him. I mean, not that he's not bizarre, but what it comes down to, again, these are, you know, these are, we're talking generalities.
And you wonder why I don't date.
And that was the opinion of my relatives as well, that she was the driver of the bus. She was the one that could manipulate. She was the one that could wrap people around and convince them of these bizarre stories, this bizarre situation.
Well, what's interesting, Cal, she's very attractive.
Yep.
I mean, she is an attractive woman, and it's funny. You know,
well, she was attractive when she had access to makeup and went to court, but the way she looked when they had the ruling that she was mentally incompetent was, eesh. So,
what was that again?
Eesh.
again, Todd wonders why he doesn't date.
Well, that's another story.
Yeah,
that's
a separate story.
Mental incompetence might be helpful in that particular case.
Well, I honestly wonder that with someone who's so good
she's
at manipulating.
You didn't catch it, Cal. She's ripping on.
It's dating Todd, yeah.
I wonder about Todd.
I wonder if someone who is so good at manipulating really could be setting herself up for this kind of a thing. Better go to a mental institution than it is to go to death row, because in Idaho, they have a death row, and sometimes they don't mess around.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting, too, and maybe I didn't catch this. They also believed July 2020 when basically the apocalypse was going to come and Christ was going to come. Isn't that what they believed? It was July 2020.
I think they had a date on it, and it never
happened. So
it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I guess you got to send his book back, Cal, and tell him that, look, I want my money back.
Well, I did the calculations. So let me see those calculations. She pulls it over. Chad, what's 12 times 3? I don't know. What did I put? You put 48. It's 36. Oops. You got the calculations wrong.
Well, ironically, we're going to follow this.
My relative was in the publishing business and had negotiations with Daybell to publish some of his stuff, and he eventually decided to pull back and make his own book publishing label, whatever they call it, because he could make more profit, you know, doing it himself. But it's an interesting story.
I wonder if they're on Amazon. You can buy his books on Amazon. I don't know.
I think they're still available.
All right. Well, that's what's going on. We got to talk a little bit about Indian Reservation police power. This is something that's kind of up tops. What people don't realize is when you go on an Indian reservation, did you know that they have their own police and they have their own laws, basically? You know, a lot of them are the same in the United States, but you are in, there is a nation within a nation when you show up. And one thing I didn't realize, Todd, that they can pull people over, but there's certain laws against other Indian people, American Indians. And if it's not American Indian, they have to bring in, don't they have to bring in either a sheriff or something to... And that's what I don't get. Maybe, do you understand that? You don't know?
Yes.
Okay,
they actually have to bring in one of the local authorities.
Local authorities.
To back
that's
them up in an arrest. They can pull over. That's my understanding.
Yes, and so we're going to talk about that. Yeah. But I don't fully understand it, but the Supreme Court came down and upheld the tribal police's stop and search rules. So we'll be back after this.
All right, as Fred said, stay tuned. We'll talk about that and more coming up next here on Radio Law Talk. Don't go away. The show will continue in just a little bit.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare,
Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
I think Brad's the best. Tom, not so much. This is no fun.
Time to get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
So the Supreme Court recently ruled on a tribal police and their traffic stop rights. Go ahead, Todd. What we're getting at is just very briefly tell us what the Supreme Court held and how it applies here.
Exactly. So the question is, what does a law enforcement officer, putting aside whether it's tribal or non-tribal, what does a law enforcement officer need in order to make a traffic stop or to detain somebody? And the rule is, under the Fourth Amendment as interpreted, they need reasonable suspicion that a crime has occurred, is in the process of occurring, or is about to occur. It's reasonable suspicion. Now, the Ninth Circuit had issued a ruling in a case where a guy was pulled over by an Indian tribal officer. Not a non-tribal law enforcement, but an Indian tribal officer. And the Ninth Circuit ruled that, no, if it's a tribal officer pulling over somebody who's not member of the tribe, not Indian, that officer needs to have, quote, evidence that the crime was apparent or obvious, which is a higher standard than reasonable suspicion. To me, it makes absolutely no sense that a tribal officer would have a higher standard for pulling somebody over. That case was appealed, and the U.S. Supreme Court weighed in and issued their ruling this last week and said, essentially, no, The tribal officer can pull people over and detain folks based upon reasonable suspicion, just like everybody else, just like any other law enforcement officer. They leveled the playing field and made it the same standard for everybody, which, in my opinion, was absolutely the right thing to do. I mean, how is a tribal officer who's following a car that's weaving in the road, and they want to pull him over to do a DUI investigation, how is that tribal officer supposed to make the determination that the driver of the car is an Indian member of the tribe versus not? You can't do it. And under that standard, if the Supreme Court hadn't fixed this law, every single investigation that started would be subject to having all of the evidence suppressed because of the higher standard that was imposed on tribal officers. So it's great that they leveled that playing field.
And this did not change the fact that the tribal police cannot arrest non-members. They don't have jurisdiction. It has to be first on tribal land, and second has to be a tribal member to be arrested. But the tribal police can call in the officials after they do the stop and search.
Which is the same thing that courts have historically ruled, that when non-law enforcement officers are working at the behest of law enforcement, they're subject to the same standard, which is reasonable suspicion. Why the Ninth Circuit made it the higher standard of apparent or obvious, that's beyond me, but the U.S. Supreme Court cleaned it up, and rightly so.
That's going to be great.
Hey, Fred, you got some news about McDonald's, right?
McDonald's is accused of violating an Illinois biometric privacy law. We've gone over that before, that Illinois, Chicago is one of the strictest states. Illinois is one of the strictest states about being able to use people's voice recognition, face recognition, et cetera, et cetera. And a lawsuit's been recently April that is starting to go forward and just removed to federal court in Chicago, where there is allegations that McDonald's is actually storing voice prints of people when they pull up to the drive-thru and are, you know, making orders, so they can determine mainly, okay, somehow, and I don't understand how,
voice is,
yeah, from that type of they want
them to always do identify to this person that is our customer, and we'll know more likely what they're gonna.
Yeah, what they're gonna order, you know, order a Big Mac or stuff like that. But I don't, you know, I'm wondering if the voice recognition recognizes this. I think Jimmy, what do you want in the back seat? What, Jimmy? Hold on a minute. Ma'am, we have 20 cars behind you. Yeah, hold on. Georgie, did you want the large fry or the small one? Stop fighting back there.
I just
know people who work drive-thrus, and I just feel so bad for the, like, can you pull forward, Matt, please?
I'm just thinking of this scenario where a person goes to McDonald's all the time, always orders the same thing for breakfast, you know, the Egg McMuffin meal or whatever it is, and then one day they go in there, I think I'll have an oatmeal with a yogurt parfait, and then the voice comes back and, that's not what you usually order, Hal. I can't give you that order, Hal.
I'm afraid I can't do that, Hal.
There's not enough calories there.
That's awesome. Anyway, we're gonna follow that. But here, let's talk really briefly about Epstein guards. What happened there with the guards, and then Cosby. The Cosby case to me is interesting. Here's Cosby. I want to talk about this really quick. Cosby can get out of jail. I forgot, and you know, we've kind of pounded on this, saying that Cosby, his case is up on appeal, and we think he's going to win. And we don't have time to go through on today's show about some possible conflicts with the judges, right, that ruled on his case. But he got 3 to 10 years in prison, and they're saying, don't forget, after 3 years, he can get out on parole, right, and in May. But he can go before the parole board. And they've told him to take this 3-year, I guess, class about sexual predators and sexual violent predator issues. And you have to take this class. And he says,
and the class is you have to admit that you are a sexual predator.
Right. And he
says, the premise behind the therapy.
And he says, I'm not. And I'm not going to take those classes. So basically, he is stuck in jail. And they say, we're not going to look at him for parole until he goes through those 3 years worth of classes and admits he's a sexual predator. And, you know, Bill's like, that's not who I am. And, yeah. You know, you guys do all you want about this conviction, which I think is going to be overturned, but that's not who I am. And, you know, good for him in sticking up for what he believes that he feels is right. Not saying I agree or disagree with it one way or the other, but good for him because he has that right to do that. But guess what? He's going to be sitting in jail for a while.
Yep.
Unless this appeal, I can't remember, is it the appellate court or the Supreme Court now?
And it's up to the state Supreme Court.
State Supreme Court, yeah. And that, there are some very interested, because he's maintained his innocence from the beginning and to the, and he's 83, and, you know, basically saying, look, I'm there's nothing, I am not admitting. And I get it, man. He's getting close to the end, and it's, if you're gonna admit stuff that you don't believe you did, then there you go. So that's what's going on with that. But what's the interesting thing that happened with the Epstein case that we always have a tendency to talk about that was just bizarre? Because we've talked about Miss Maxwell, and you have an update on that. So why don't you just mention the guards and then the update on the Maxwell?
Well, the guards that were protecting Epstein from suicide the day that he allegedly committed suicide, they have admitted that they were sleeping and that they were surfing the web and they did not go every 30 minutes as they were supposed to check on Epstein, and Epstein then allegedly committed suicide on their watch. And they falsified their time records and their records, you know, showing when they were walking by checking on Epstein. And they've admitted to that, and they both have gotten they admitted to falsifying the records, but they will not go to jail. They will do community service, and they have probation for a period of time under a plea deal that was just announced.
So they're still on payroll? Did they fire them, or are they still on payroll?
No. No, they're not fired, to my knowledge. Wow. And this is their argument, and their argument was they had worked a double shift. Now, I'm not stepping on the, you know, stepping up for them and saying, but they had been worked a double shift, and they were both super tired, and they fell asleep too. They had fallen asleep. So,
And then on Maxwell's end, she tried to get the full copy of the one of the victims' diaries that they wrote right around the time of the allegations in the criminal complaint, and the judge denied her that. And I couldn't understand that for a minute, but Todd was really good at explaining why. Todd, do you want to help?
No. Essentially what the judge ruled, both parties agreed that in the diary that they were seeking, there was no mention of Maxwell at all. And so the judge ruled, well, there's no mention of Maxwell. Why is this even relevant? And she stopped writing in the diary. So they don't get it.
All right. Quick takes time, right, Cal?
Yep. Can I go first? Yeah. Fred, what is your quick take for the show today?
Voice recognition at fast food drive-thrus. I don't think it's going to happen because there's not enough storage in computers in the world to store the let's see, burger. No, I'll change my mind. So that's not going to happen.
Todd, what say you?
The Bill Cosby pickle. If he did go to the sexually violent predator class and admitted that he was, and then won on appeal, he would be toasted a retrial.
Absolutely.
And Denise, what's yours?
There's a New York lawsuit that involves graffiti artists suing the police when they remove their art. And now we know police have to ask first, was this graffiti consensual?
We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping.
To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.